WhatsApp us on 084-786-3132.
Wa alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected esteemed listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we welcome you to the segment. And this is the segment of our spiritual breakfast. It is with Hazrat Mulana Musa Ali here. The date today is the 27th of Shawwal in South Africa. Other areas, the 28th of Shawwal, 1445. That is corresponding to their Gregorian calendar, the 7th of May, 2024. Let's welcome Hazrat Mulana Musa Ali here. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mulana Zaid Sahab, spiritual breakfast. What's for breakfast that Markaz Sahaba offers?
Mulana Musa Ali here's golden pieces of advice. That is our...
I thought I can come and visit you all. I'll get some nice scrambled eggs and bologna or something, mashallah.
Inshallah, no problem. We can make the arrangements.
Inshallah.
Where's Mulana in Cape Town at the moment?
Gee, I'm in Cape Town. I was in Stanger this weekend. I left on Saturday, came back on Sunday. We had some programs there, alhamdulillah. It was nice.
Mashallah.
The weather was brilliant in Stanger. Really, really hot. Alhamdulillah. And we got to go to this quiet beach called Tinley Beach. Really nice, mashallah. You know, I joke with the brothers. I tell them, here in Cape Town, you dip your feet in the ocean, you'll get frostbite. But you don't get all that, alhamdulillah.
Gee, Cape Town is, you can't go in those waters unless you...
Oh, it's ice cold. Ice cold, Mulana.
Unless you're young and daring, then...
Gee, so true. So
but
true.
As Mufti AK Sap says, as you get older, you get colder. But some men, he says, they, when they message to get married and they're 70, and then he says, yes, out, Maria's knee coat. So, Mashallah. Mashallah. So, Mulana, our topic today, interesting topic Mulana chose, and I'm happy that this, I know few people have told me in the past that we need to address these aspects of adab and etiquettes at being at the graveyard, the Qabristan, as well as all of this surrounding when a person passes away at the mayat. We lost totally. And I just mentioned now when I saw the topic, I said on air as well that we often what happens if I see Mulana at the mayat, I'll say, Mulana, long time no see, and we embracing one another, but is this the right place to do all of these things?
Mulana, you're quite right. Before we dive into this topic, I think we just must take a little bit of a moment to make some dua for the people of Rafah. Frightening, you know. I have a team that's there in Egypt right now, and yesterday a bus arrived, Gazan people arrived, and so to welcome them, you know, they had prepared some juices and waters and, you know, little snacks and what have you. And they're telling me that there was one or two children on the bus, but those children were too scared to take it, you know. They were terrified. And you can imagine, well, we can't imagine, to be honest. We can't imagine what they've witnessed over the last 6 months. But I think we must just take some time. Ya Allah, help these people. We don't know why Allah Ta'ala is allowing this to happen. And Allah Ta'ala has his plan. We must have full yaqeen and conviction and tawakkul. But we must also engage in a lot of istighfar, a lot of dua. I think this... invasion in Rafah is going to be catastrophic. Many, many shuhada are going to come out of there. Alhamdulillah, that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. But, you know, children are going to suffer. Women are going to suffer. The elders are going to suffer. And we make dua that Allah Ta'ala defeats the shaitani army swiftly, and Allah Ta'ala sends his ghaibi nusra to help them.
Mulana, just a quick question before we move on. So I read that Hamas is willing to settle and they have sort of inclined towards the negotiations. But at the moment, this, what we say, Netanyahu, whatever, whoever wants to call him, he says, no, he's going ahead with the invasion. So the true colors is showing out to the world that these are the true baby killers they want this year. It's nothing about ceasefire and all of that. It is all about these people and what they want. They just want to wipe out. And they've previously told the people to move to Rafah. Now they've said that, no, you must move again. And continuously, how much, where do people move? Khan Yunus is nothing there. So I just like Mulana's advice on this as well.
Mulana, this is a political game at the end of the day. If Netanyahu agrees, so basically what had happened was Egypt, Qatar, and America, they had then presented a ceasefire deal to Hamas, and Hamas agreed to it yesterday. And there were celebrations, Allahu Akbar, you know. I was following the news very, very closely with our people that are inside, etc. It was an eruption of joy, of happiness. There was takbir that was being recited, etc. And then, obviously, the calm after the storm, when people realized that, hey, you know what, this is only one-sided. Mm. Israel still has to accept this deal.
Gee.
And then we received news that, no, the war cabinet met, and unanimously they've decided to go on with Rafah. Maulana, why I say it's a political game, the result of this year is simple. If Netanyahu doesn't agree to go on with the invasion of Rafah, he will be taken out of power, he will be tried, he will be placed into prison, and that's the end of his days. So to play this volley and appease his war cabinet, he has to go on with this. I mentioned this here on Saturday already, that brothers, you know, we had a bit of a Q&A session and what have you, and one of the questions is, what is going to happen in Rafah? And I said, you know what, I can give you 100% guarantee the invasion in Rafah will take place. Because it's a political game, and there we are already seeing it. So, you know, unfortunately, that power struggle for Netanyahu just to stay in power. Now look, this is the beauty of it. The own community, the people of Tel Aviv, right, the Israeli settlers, they are now threatening to burn down Tel Aviv if Netanyahu doesn't agree to this here. So sometimes Allah Ta'ala will use their own people to destroy them. And that's what I'm hoping for right
inshallah,
now.
Inshallah.
That the Israelis must go mad, the Israeli settlers, you know, the citizens, they're not citizens, they are settlers, illegal settlers.
Squatters.
They must now go mad, and they must burn the whole of Israel down. And then alhamdulillah, you know, at least
our job is done.
Their infrastructure also gets destroyed, as it is, this war is costing them so much of billions and trillions, and they are Jews who love money more than life. They love money. So I think hopefully this will happen, inshallah.
Inshallah.
And yeah, they can carry on with the invasion. We still win at the end of the day. We win,
so win
in the
win.
Sense that our martyrs go straight to Jannah.
Alhamdulillah, that is so inspirational, because many people are seeing this, that we are not scared of death as such. Of course, we are scared of what's going to happen in the qabr, which we're going to speak on this topic now, about those, all of us who are alive around the qabr and what's happening at the burial sites. But in the qabr, when Allah Azza wa Jal deals with us, that's what we fear. But actually, for martyrdom, this is something that we desire. As the hadith says, "Man sa'ala Allah ta'ala's shahada bisidqin," whoever asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for shahada with truthfulness, then Allah will grant him that status of martyrdom. Wa in mata ala firashi, even though he passes away on his bed. Mulana Sap, do we start with our discussion now, or does Mulana want to
mention? I think let's take this in stages, right? Before we even get to the Qabristan, someone in the home passes away. Right? Sometimes family members are around at that time. The Sunnah teaches us to make talqeen. So we recite La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. We don't enforce it on the person that is dying, but we encourage it very nicely, very politely. And alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, if they recite the kalima, well and good. If they don't, it doesn't mean that they've died without iman either.
Gee.
That's the first thing, you know,
that
we must remember. So the two stages. One is what happens at the house. That's a topic on its own, and it's really a disastrous topic also. And then the more pertinent one, as you mentioned, what happens at the Qabristan. So let's do this over 2 weeks. I see our time is running against us also. But let's concentrate first at the home.
Gee.
So the person has passed away. Doctor came. They have confirmed that, you know what, this person is now deceased, etc. They then proceed to get the death certificate or whatever it is. Right. We're not talking about hospital because that's a different story on its own. But let's just talk at home. Maulana, what happens after that? So generally, they will take the body to the ghusl khana and they will perform the ghusl, etc. And then they bring the body back. Now is a critical time also. The ruh has been removed, but the ruh is observing what is happening to his body, her body, and what the people around are doing. Maulana, it is such a sad, sad, sad state of affairs, especially when we are seeing elders of our community leaving us, that there the janaza is 10 feet away. You and I will be sitting in one corner. Hey, Maulana, what's the score tonight? Who's playing? It's Ajib that we will be talking about soccer, we'll be talking about cricket, we'll be talking about this. The janaza is 10 feet away from us. And like you mentioned, kafa bil mawti wa'iza, the best bayan in the world that can ever be given, a silent bayan, is maut.
Allah.
Shouldn't that be reminding us that, you know what, tomorrow we are going to be in that situation? Would we like it if people 10 feet away from us are gossiping, are talking about worldly affairs, sometimes even Maulana, our mothers, our sisters, la ilaha illallah. You know, I think there is still that little bit of sharam and haya and understanding that when they are not in a parked state, then they go and sit in another room, right? But it doesn't mean that if they are not reading, that now they must start gossiping, they must start chatting, they must start telling the whole jamaat that is there of ladies that are not reading, all the stories of the community. This is great bay adbi. Rather, you know, in my personal opinion, what I actually do is I don't like to go early to the houses. Can be how close a friend. Because sooner or later we're going to get caught up. You know, somebody's going to ask us something, you know, and we'll get caught up. Sometimes under the pretext of dini issues, like now Rafah. Right, that is the check on everybody's tongue. That's not the place to discuss what's happening in Rafah. That's not the place to discuss what is happening in Gaza. Now is the time to read. Then itale sawab for the marhum, the marhuma. When we starting to engage in all this political and, you know, we become analysts. Analysts.
Then it's better we sit at home and read something. You don't have to be there as such.
Exactly. And that's the fear, you know. So you rather, I'm not saying now everybody must come late to the janaza, not late, but if you are going to go there and get involved in all of this year, then it's better you sit at home, read for the marhum, marhuma, come there 5-10 minutes before the pickup, and then obviously accompany the janaza to the burial grounds, to the qabristan, etc.
Gee. So, Maulana, just to get this understanding of what's our objective. When we come, because there's also this pressure, I feel there's a great amount of pressure, unnecessarily, we have to put this pressure upon those who have lost their close members, that now you have to provide for us. I recall one janaza, we came back, and the person in the car, who's not even a family member, he says, hey, I hope there's great chows here because it's been a long day. So it's just turned like into an entertainment. And
Maulana,
everyone's
it's a party. It's a party. It's really a party. You know, okay, fine. feeding those that have come from outside. That's the maksad. That's what it should be. Now, people have traveled from Durban. People have traveled from Cape Town. They've traveled from different parts of the country or even the world to be part of the janazah. So now, obviously, you know, some arrangement has to be made to feed those people. But again, now, I live two doors away, right? Like you said. Now, because, okay, you want to be there, you can be there. Nobody said it's haram to eat the food or anything like that there. But we have to be considerate. In fact, people that are close to the janazah family, they are the ones who should be making all those arrangements.
Gee.
Because the immediate family, they are, you know, they sometimes their mind is not working correctly. They don't have istiadad and they don't have the strength that time because someone was sick for so many days and, you know, they sat up with the family member and all of those things we have to be considerate about. So the chairs, the tables, the tents, the food, all of those things, there somebody should try to take responsibility to arrange it. But now, people that are living two blocks, three blocks away, for them it's a walima. Like I said, it's a party, like you said. What's on the menu? And then they'll come, they'll eat, and then they'll criticize the food also. It was too spicy. It was too oily. They didn't give, what's this, badam milk, you know? They didn't give kheer. They didn't do this. The cold ring was warm. This, that. The maqsad is not that. It's only there to feed the outsiders. People have come from far. They need to travel, give them something to eat, and they must carry on their safar or they will remain there, etc. But this is not a party. And especially when we're sitting on the table, generally they will feed after the janazah. So let's say the janazah is after Isha namaz. They won't feed after Maghrib. They'll feed after the janazah. When everyone's come back from the Qabristan, now they will feed. And again, there you see now. Now we're meeting after so long. Hey, how is it? Long time no see. What's happening? Now we forget. And we are insan. We are so weak. We forget that, you know what, just an hour ago, half an hour ago, we were there at the Qabristan. We were putting someone into the Qabr. Bichara, that person is now being questioned. Mar Rabbuk, Ma Dinuk, all the questions have been happening. And what we're talking about? We're talking politics. We are analysts. We are governments. We are sports fanatics. We are this. We are that. So it carries on, Maulana. It's not just one day. One is the three-day cycle that will happen. And sometimes it goes on for a whole week or so. So every day now. What's on the menu today? What's on the menu tomorrow? What we having for breakfast? You know, like a wedding. Like a real wedding. La ilaha illallah. Sometimes people book out halls even. You'd be surprised. They book out a hall just so that they can feed. Now, okay, we understand. People are coming from far to sympathize, etc. Feed them, no problem. But don't make it a party. Sometimes you see, Maulana, on the menu, chicken tikka. Is that the time for chicken tikka? Fries, these type of things. Not the place for it. And then some people only come for the food. So even during that 3 days of ta'ziyah, right, when you are sympathizing, you will find everyone sitting outside, got one big cigarette in the hand, tea, coffee is rolling, right, and nobody is reading. Nobody is reading. No, not one Yasin Sharif. Not one khatam of the Quran Sharif. Again, look, there are families that do a lot. But why I'm emphasizing on this is that sometimes we are losing the plot. What should be done is not done. What shouldn't be done is being done. So we have to get our priorities also straight.
Mulana, another aspect comes to mind now is what does a person do? Now, there's all of this pressure. It's become like a must upon those family members, or the household that loses a family member. Now they have to provide. But what happens? They don't have money to provide. Now there's this pressure because we've created it like it's almost compulsory. You have to. So what do they do?
Yeah, so that's why, you know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sunnah is akmal, ajmal, ashal. It's the most perfect. It's the most beautiful. It's the most easiest. So people of the community must also have a little bit of akal, a little bit of intelligence. Now, one poor family, they are foreigners maybe, they have passed away in our community. Now, we make sure that we go in there supper time just to check what is the chow, like you said, what is on the menu. So we have to have some akal. People of the community, this is an opportunity of sawab also for us. If we know that that family is struggling financially, then take it upon yourself to make those arrangements. But for whom? For only the outsiders. There's no need for people of the community every day that are going there mealtime to have this party. You can go and sit every day, but you don't have to go and eat every day. Why? Why are you making it so difficult upon that family? One is they lost someone. Now, Maulana, you know, we said we're only going to talk about this. Do you know how expensive it is to die today? You know, it sounds like a joke, but it's expensive to die. You got to pay for that qabr. You got to pay so many, I don't know what it is. It's something like 8,000, 9,000 rand just to die. You know, you think to yourself, Ya Rab, to die now, where are they going to get the money to pay for that? The kafan, the janaza, you know, all that thing, the burial organizations. Alhamdulillah, sometimes they subsidize it. Allahu alam, what's their system? We're not here to talk about that. What we are here to talk about is keeping it simple. You know, one other topic that Maulana must keep in mind is walima. But why I'm mentioning it, in a'zama nikahi baraka aytharuhum ma'una. The best type of nikah walima is that nikah that has the least amount of expenses. The same thing here with the burial. And we should be even more understanding, more sympathetic, more intelligence should be applied when there is a janaza in a particular family that we know, hey, but you know what, they are living hand to mouth. They don't have extra money, and now we want to go there. You know, for the family, Maulana, it's sometimes so embarrassing because all these people are coming mealtime, expecting a meal.
Gee.
Now, what they have to do, they have to... So what happens, Maulana, 9 out of 10 times, if somebody doesn't intervene and assist them in the kharcha, in the cost of these meals, so what they'll do, they'll either take a loan or, imagine at that time, taking a loan just to feed, to make people happy, or they'll swipe the credit card.
Or they will take from the inheritance, which you can't do.
You know? So when we're talking about burial expenses, you know, from the miras to remove the burial expenses, it doesn't include all these things here. This
meals,
5-7 day party eating and all of that there. It doesn't include that. That is a tradition that has crept into our societies and a lot of isra. A lot, Maulana, if you look at the amount of leftover food that is thrown away, not to say that it's given to the poor, whatever it is, it's literally thrown into the bin. Ya Allah. And then we want to be analysts and say now the people of Gaza, they are suffering, they don't have food, but how much we are wasting.
Maulana,
don't put the family into this unnecessary kharcha. Take that money, give it to Gaza, as sadaqah, isale sawab for the marhum. They'll benefit more.
This is an important subject, and what I gathered here is, and what our ustads, asatira, Allah reward them all, they taught us as well, is that be an asset to someone. That is the best of people, you be an asset to someone. So instead of going there and eating a meal at that time, our ustad used to tell us that take some fruits, spend minimum 15 minutes. Maximum 15 minutes. And then you go. There's no need to be there for so long and cause that taklif. And also when you go at the time, as Maulana mentioned, don't go at the time of meals. Go after Asr. Go after where you know it's not going to be. And when they invite you, they tell you, then say, make an excuse to leave, but you give them something instead of the one day. I think I took the wrong meaning, and some family member of ours passed away, and I couldn't find a fruit store, so I went to go buy a cake. And today I regret, because that cake was, normally you think a cake you have normally when someone is, you know, just to give them some comfort or solace, but not at the time of when they lose a spouse or a family member, then you will tend to give something else. But afterwards I said, what did I do here? I made a huge blunder by giving a cake, because everyone, I think the mother was family to us, they looked at it and like, you're bringing a cake now, I just lost my husband. So just to apply the correct mindset and do the right things at the right time. Mulana, you can elaborate on this.
Mulana, I don't think they didn't appreciate the cake. Because one is the meal and one is the tea party also after that. So the tea is not just tea. It goes with cakes, it goes with biscuits, it goes with dippers and all of that there. So I completely understand what you're trying to say, to be sensitive to the and appropriate, munasib to the situation. But trust me, in today's time, you can bring even a wedding cake also. It will be welcome. It will be welcome. You bring on chocolate cake, Ferrero cake, any cake, it will be welcome, because tea time, they'll take that out, cut it up nicely, everybody will enjoy, and they say, oh, ma, what a cake they gave us. So, you know, we're saying it in a light note, but yeah, no, definitely, you know, it's not just a meal, you know, it's a 3-4-course thing, you know, that milk, the kheer, I don't know where the kheer came from, Molana. Till now, I'm trying to figure that one out. You know, that tradition of the kheer, the badam milk. So that's a must. The meal is a must. The chai and the coffee is a must with the dipper. So look at how much israf that is. How much difficulty it is, you know. So we must also have a little bit of akal, we must think, and take something. Like you said, you know, even if you're taking some biscuits, homemade biscuits or something, and leaving it there for the family, they will have it. Look, generally, when somebody loses a family member, then your appetite is also gone. For the next 2-3 days, you can't eat. That is if we have some...
feelings.
You know, otherwise, some people, they say, hey, mashallah, it's gone. Alhamdulillah, let's celebrate, you know.
I always say this, some doctor passed away many years ago. I won't say the place also. So I'm waiting now. You know, you're on a greet. If it's far, you know, you're not going to meet the person again, or it's difficult to go to the house, and you try to greet the person there at the Kabristan. So I'm going to greet him. And as I approached him, his wife passed away. He said, hey, tonight, then you better come. There's going to be supper. You must come. And he's like totally elated. I'm looking, did you just lose your wife now? So, all of these things,
sad,
yes.
Sad thing, you know. I think really we have to get our bearings right. Have to realize, you know, just like how anzilun nasa manazilahum. You know, treat people according to their status. They have to treat a venue and an occasion according to how it is. You know, if it's a wedding, yes, it's a joyous occasion. Alhamdulillah. If it's a janaza, it should be somber. It should be something that reminds us that one day I'm also going. And you know, the best thing, Molana, to end off, I know time is up here, but the best thing for us to be effective in this, if every day make 5-10 minutes muhasabah of mawt, muraqabah of mawt. That, you know what, think to yourself that, yeah, see, I passed away now. I'm laying here. If I'm lucky, 1-2 people are reading for me around me. They're going to carry me, take me to the janaza, make my ghusl. So when we think about those things there, then, you know, that fear of death, well, not fear, that fear of how I'm going to behave at a place like this here, it should be correct, and I fear that I should be insensitive in any way whatsoever, or be ghair munasib, or do something that is not on the adab of a janaza at the time of a janaza. I think that will be very, very effective for the community, inshallah.
Inshallah. Mulana, jazakumullah khairan. Interesting topic. I'd like to just reverse a little bit for when we go forward. And that is because many people are asking also, what is the procedure of ghusl for the deceased? How do we go about doing that? So if Mulana, in the next lesson, inshallah, we'll call it a lesson, we can, Mulana can just advise us on these pertinent issues which we tend to ignore and focus on that, inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan, Mulana.
Jazakallah, Mulana. Enjoy the sunlight of Joburg. We are expecting some beautiful rains here also.
Inshallah.
Allah Ta'ala make them beneficial.
Ameen, ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Mulana Musa Lehe giving us good pieces of advice on adab and etiquettes at the burial from us in the team. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
WhatsApp us on 084-786-3132.